And I don't, I know y'all probably know, you probably know this, but it needs to be reminded to you. If you go up 6 hours in that direction, back toward East Tennessee and North Carolina, this man is very highly thought of in that area. Matter of fact, you mentioned Brother Ken Bowman's name and people just go to smiling. They love that preacher. And I'm going to tell you something right now. He's been, God's put him in the hearts of people up there. I want to thank you for allowing him to do what he does. I'm going to tell you something. God will bless y'all for that. And I know you pray for him. I appreciate him. And every now and then I'll call him. He'll be on the road and I'll be on the road. And I appreciate the Lord and his goodness. Acts chapter 16. I want to give you a thought today and I hope I can be a blessing to you from the Word of God. Acts chapter number 16. And I want to begin reading down about verse number 19. In the story that I'm reading today, you find the story, if you're able to stand, you stand with us. Story of Paul and Silas. And everybody's heard this story preached and taught down through the years of Paul and Silas being thrown in jail. And the reason they're there, Paul and has been preaching and teaching and helping folks. And there was a woman who began to follow him. And she became really a nuisance to Paul. She was crying out every day. And finally, Paul got frustrated with that. And the Bible said she was possessed with the spirit of divination. And Paul turned and he cast the spirit out of this woman. And when he did that, those who had been making merchandise of her and those who had been making gain off of her were angry at what Paul had done. And we find the story of how Paul was cast into prison. Verse number 19. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word today. And Lord, I pray that you'd enable me now for just a few minutes that it might be a blessing to this people. Thank you, Lord, for their kindness, their friendship, their fellowship. And Lord, I pray meet needs now in this place today. God, we'll give you praise for what you do, for it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Here in the story, we find the scene that Paul and Silas have now been arrested and they have been beaten with many stripes, the Bible says. And they've been cast into prison, but it wasn't just any incarceration, I guess you'd say. Because the Bible tells us about this. It says, when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. But it didn't stop there. The Bible said in the next verse, and the jailer, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison. I really want to focus on that phrase tonight. If you study that, and most commentators that you read after will talk about the fact that in the Bible days, many times in the prisons, the inner prison was the innermost part of the prison, and many times it was a pit in the ground. It was a low place in the prison. It was the lowest point of the prison. In other words, it was a dark, damp place. And the inner prison, I don't know if that's where the phrase being thrown in the hole comes from, but it may have a direct link back to that. But here's Paul and Silas, and the Bible said they've been thrust not only in the prison, they're beat up now, and they're in bad shape, and they now have been thrust into the inner prison, and their feet has been shackled, and their hands are shackled, feet's been made fast in the stocks, and here they are in a dark place, if you will. Matter of fact, they're in a low dark place. Matter of fact, they're shackled up, and there ain't nothing they can do about it. But at the midnight hour, the Bible said in the midnight hour, now there's no light here where they're at. They're in the dark. I can imagine Paul and Silas sitting in the dark. They're shackled up. They're beat up. And I can imagine Paul saying, Silas, you there? Yeah, I'm over here. Paul said, how are you feeling? He said, I feel pretty rough, Paul. That fella beat me pretty bad. How you doing, Paul? I'm feeling pretty bad, too. He said, that fella, he laid it on me. I didn't do nothing to that guy. He beat me pretty bad. Can I say to you, there's going to be a lot of things in this world going to beat you up. There's going to be times you're going to find yourself just like Paul and Silas, down in a little place in the dark, and you've been beat up, and you're wondering how you're going to make it. But I'm glad in the midnight hour, the Bible said that God began to deal their heart, and they began to pray, and they began to seek God's face, and God turned that. I began to think about that. I, as far as I can tell today, nobody came in here wearing an ankle bracelet today. Matter of fact, most of you don't. Most of you don't look like you just got out of jail. I didn't say all of you. I said most of you don't look like you just got out of jail. But I promise you, there's people sitting on these pews today. You may not have been locked up in a physical prison, but you're bound with an inner prison. There are people that come and sit on our pews Sunday after Sunday, and they're bound by something that we can't see. There's a binding that the enemy has placed on them. You may have been beat up. You may have been locked up. But thank God, I'm glad Paul and Silas didn't shut up. I'm going to tell you something right now. Your victory is when you give God praise even in the midst of your struggle. I'm preaching on this subject today on breaking free from an inner prison. You say, preacher, what is it about the inner prison that we need to know? First of all, the inner prison was a place of intimidation. They didn't put everybody there. They just put the ones there they wanted to prove a point to. I got news for you. The devil is a bully. I get tired of watching him beat up on God's people. I get tired of good people, the devil just wearing them out. And the devil is an intimidator. He wants to intimidate you today. He wants to rob you of your victory. He wants to rob you of your shout. He wants to rob you of your joy. He is a bully. He'll intimidate you if he can. Not only is it a place of intimidation, it's a place of isolation. Not everybody in the prison was in the inner prison. Paul and Silas is all that's named that's in the inner prison. Sometimes, just as what the enemy likes to do, in your dark, low place, he wants you to feel like you're all alone. Ain't nobody knows where you're at, and nobody knows what you're going through. But I'm glad in the midst of all that, there's one that sees everything today. You say, preacher, what else is it about this inner prison? It's a place of intimidation, isolation, and it's a place of immobilization. The Bible said their feet are shackled. You know what the enemy's done to them? He has restricted their walk. Matter of fact, he's hindered their ability to move. Well, I'm going to tell you something. The devil's locked our churches down. The devil, listen, y'all ain't got shackles on you that I can see today, but I guarantee you, some of y'all been locked down in your movements. A few years ago at the church that I pastor, there's a lady in our church. I've known her all of my life. She's just a little bit younger than me. She sits on the back row, very quiet person. You never hear anything from her, just very quiet. And And one day she contacted me over my computer and said, "Preacher, could I talk to you just a second? I've got a problem I need you to talk to." And I said, "Well, sure." And she said, "Preacher, every Sunday when you give the invitation, you give an invitation something like this. Now, if you've got a need or if you've got a burden, won't you come and bring it to the Lord? Bring it to this altar." You give an invitation, something like that. And she said, "Preacher, for the last 6 months, every Sunday, you're talking to me." And she said, "But preacher, I don't think I can come to the altar." I didn't know what she meant by that. She didn't have no physical limitations. She said, "I don't think I can. I don't think I could make it all the way to the altar." And I thought, "Oh my, what is wrong with this woman?" And then here's what she said, Brother Ken. She said, "Preacher, if the Lord would put it on your heart one Sunday to come back and help me come to the altar, would you do it?" I'd never had anybody ask me anything like that. I said, "Oh my." I said, "Sis, I'll do whatever the Lord touches my heart to do." And I'll be honest with you, that was a weighing on me. When I went to church on Sunday, I said, "Lord, I want to be sensitive to you. Just because she asked me to do this, I don't want to do it just because she asked." I said, "I want to know that you are the one that's motivating this." And that day during the service, I was trying to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. And man, I couldn't get no inclination that I needed to go back and help this woman come to the altar. I didn't know what had her blocked. I was given the invitation that day, and the altar started filling up with people. And I'm standing up there, and I'm saying, "Now, Lord, do you want me to do this?" And God hadn't said a thing. And all of a sudden, I looked up, and she stood up, and she started down the side aisle toward the altar. And sure enough, she was right. She didn't make it all the way to the altar. She fell on her knees beside the pew in the aisle. And she was just weeping, just under such a load. And I came down out of the pulpit. I went around to where she was at. And she's there on her knees just weeping. And I slid in. I said, "Sis, you're right. You couldn't make it to the altar. But that didn't keep God from making it to where you're at. Hallelujah. I'm glad. Praise God. The old enemy would like to lock you down. He'd like to rob you of getting help. Amen. I'm here to tell you, I'm glad God can break you free from the inner prisons of life." Amen. You say, "Preacher, what is it about this inner prison?" Paul and Silas found three things in this inner prison. Number one, they found an inner strength. Do you realize you don't know how strong you are until you need to know? If at any time they're weak in the flesh, it's now. They've been beat with many stripes. I mean, they're not feeling the best in the physical man. But here in the dark, beat up, hurting, chained up, all of a sudden there's something on the inside that starts rising up in them. Hallelujah. I'm glad, praise God, that I'm glad in the midst of all of our struggles. Sometimes I'll think about that verse over in Corinthians where he says, "Though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Sometimes when you feel the weakest physically, whenever you feel the weakest in your mind, whenever you feel like you can't make it, there's something on the inside of you that begins to rise up. And Paul would say, if there's ever a time to write out a resignation, it's when you've been beat up, locked up, thrown down in the pit. Nobody don't know where you're at. If there's ever a time to say, you know, maybe Paul, maybe we'll look for a new line of work when we get out of here. I can imagine Paul said, "But now Silas, you're talking, that's just your weakness talking, Silas. Oh, now's not the time. Matter of fact, when we get out of here, I remember there's a street corner down there. It'd be a good place to preach when we get out of here. I got news for you that you'll find some strength in the inner prison that you didn't know you had." Hallelujah. I've seen people said, "I don't think I could go through that." You won't know till you get there. But boy, there's an inner strength that comes in the midst of all of it. Paul and Silas not only found an inner strength, but as I sang today, they found an inner song. Now, there ain't nobody standing up at the midnight hour in the inner prison, in the dark pit, saying, now take your hymn books and turn to page 276. Because number one, they ain't got no hymn books. If they had them, they couldn't see them. But how do you sing a song if you can't see a book? I tell you how, because you got one in you. You got one that God put in there. And sometimes it's when the pressures of life come that that song comes forth in your life. I've written many songs down through the years. Some of them have came out of low, dark places, preacher. I was telling the preacher last night, one of the songs that the Inspirations did of mine several years ago, a song called I Found a Faithful Friend. Me and my wife, we were at about the lowest place we'd been. We were in a battle. We couldn't fix nothing. We were in Atlanta, Georgia, back many years ago when the ice storm hit Atlanta. Y'all remember that? Locked everything down. I was down there in a meeting. I was started preaching on Monday night. Got one night of the meeting in. The ice storm hit and everything was locked down. Man, we were hurting. We were going through a battle with some folks we loved that the devil was just killing them. I'm just beating them to death. And we was a crying and a praying and asking God to change stuff and fix stuff. And I'll be honest with you, that night we were there in the hotel room, couldn't go anywhere. Finally, my wife went to sleep and I couldn't sleep. I was hurting so bad on the inside. I told Brother Ken, I said, that night if I could have took a knife and cut my chest open and pulled it open and let the pain run out, I would have. But I said, that night I was hurting so bad. I said, I got to do something. I went into the restroom area, the motel room there. And I'm sitting there, and down through the years, if I'm going through a valley, sometimes just writing something will be therapeutic to me. And I was sitting there, and that night, the last thing on my mind was writing a song. I was sitting there at 3 o'clock in the morning, and it's like something said, why don't you write something? I'm just trying to find God. What do you mean? What am I going to write? And it's like the Spirit of God said, why don't you write how you feel right now? And that took me back, preacher. I thought, how do I put in words how I feel at 3 o'clock in the morning in a motel room, feel like I'm going to die? And then all of a sudden, these words started flowing out of that pen. When the hurt goes deeper than the deepest place your heart has ever known, when you're standing in your darkest trial, and it seems as though you're standing all alone, when the tears fall down like bitter rain, and you're wondering if the sun will shine again, in the midst of disappointment, look around, you'll find a faithful friend. He's walked through my darkest valleys, shining light upon the lily by the way. He has picked me up and held me when I thought I could not face another day. And when my heart had stopped its singing and my mind was simply searching for an end, I can tell you by experience, I found a faithful friend. I'm glad, praise God, when you're in the inner prison, God will bring a song to you. Hallelujah. Help you break free from the shackles that the enemy's put on you. And they found an inner song. And this third one they found, I call this an inner summit. What do you mean by that, preacher? If I ask everybody here today to stand up and tell me about your life, from the time you remember to where you are now, most of you would start telling me about high moments in your life. You'd talk about growing up, where you went to school, your family. You'd talk about maybe when you got old enough to go to college, or maybe when you got married, maybe when God blessed you with children. You'd tell me highlights of your life. Everybody here would tell me about your journey, some things you'd look back with happiness about. But if everybody here told the whole story of your life, you'd have to look back over the journey and realize there were some low places that you wouldn't tell nobody else about. Here is Paul and Silas. They're in a low place now. But I imagine if you could call Paul back today and said, now Paul, tell us about some of them low places you went through. And Paul probably gets to tell them, well, you know, there's went through a couple shipwrecks and all this and that. Well, tell us about that being down in that prison. That was a pit. That was about as low as you can get. He said, no. You don't understand. That wasn't a valley. That was a mountaintop. You see, God is the only one that can turn a valley into a mountaintop. I've looked back over my life here. As I get a little older, I start thinking about things, preacher. And some of them places I thought I'd die and I wouldn't make it out of them. I mean, God was doing something there. And I look back, the closer I get to the end, I look back and every one of them valleys has turned into mountaintops. Because God did something there for me in that place the only way He could have done it. And now when I look back, listen, I wouldn't want to go through it again. But I rejoice at what God did. Hallelujah to His name. I wrote another song. I write songs about everything. I write sad songs, happy songs, funny songs. I got some good funny ones if you just ever hear them. I can't sing them in church, so. But I wrote a song, and I sung it by myself. And this is the musings of an old man as he's looking back over his life called Mountaintops. Looking back upon my journey, on the things I thought I knew, I wonder how I made it in the trials that I've come through. And in my desperation, when I prayed the pain would stop, it's then I found my valleys have turned into mountaintops. I've known some times of weakness when it seemed God hid His face, searching for an answer and the strength to run my race. But God's Word was ever near me when it seemed my faith was not. That's how all my valleys have turned into mountaintops. I'm glad that God can turn your low place into a mountaintop. You say, preacher, what is it about? I'm going to give you just a couple quick things and I'll be done today. There's three things you need to know on how to break free from an inner prison. Number one, you're going to have determination in the darkness. Anybody can serve God on the mountaintop. Anybody can serve Him when the sun's shining, the bills are paid, and everybody's health's good. But I'm going to tell you something. You're going to find some places in your life where the darkness comes and you're in a low place. You're going to have some determination in the midst of that darkness. Several years ago, I was in a revival meeting. I'd driven back home late one night. I was in the house there. I was winding down so I could go to sleep. My family was already in the bed. And I finally got to feeling like I could go to sleep. So I started turning off the lights in the living room. And I'm walking down the hallway toward my wife and I's bedroom in the dark. And as I'm walking down the hallway and in the dark, all of a sudden there was a flash of light in front of my face. And I stopped. It kind of startled me. I said, what was that? I thought, am I seeing things? What was that? I saw a flash of light. And then it did it again, and I realized that a little old lightning bug had gotten the house. Y'all know what a lightning bug is, don't you, down here in Georgia? And I was standing there in the dark, and that little old bug, flash, 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 and I got the biggest blessing. I said, you know, Lord, I said, that bug's in the same darkness I'm in. But it ain't bothering him near as bad as it is me because he's got the ability to create his own light. And about that time, the Holy Ghost got in the conversation. Said, yeah, he's got light in him. And then about that time, I took another step and the Holy Ghost says, and you do too. That's why you can explain it. Some little saint, you go to the hospital to be an encouragement to them, and you leave encouraged. You leave, they ain't got nothing on the surface, looks like anything to praise anything for. They ain't got a good report. Their health's bad, everything. But when you go to see them, they're there in the bed and they say, boy, the Lord's been awful good to me. Boy, I tell you what, just thank God. If He heals me, that's fine. If He don't, I'm a winner either way. They're like that little old bug. Flash, flash, flash. I'm glad, praise God. When you get in the inner prison, if you want to get out, just have determination, because God put in you what you need to navigate through this life and the low places of life. I'm glad He put His life in you. Hallelujah, when He saved you. You say, preacher, what else is it? You need to have determination in darkness. Number two, you need to understand you've got a direct line to the throne of God. Now, I have never been arrested. Somebody should have said amen on that right there. It's not because I probably didn't deserve it at some time in my young, ignorant days, but I've never been arrested. Now, I have had plenty of blue light fellowship beside the highway. When you travel the roads like me and your preacher over there, especially in North Carolina, in little towns, they got them speed traps everywhere, and I'm telling you what, it got to the point at one point in time, I'd do so many meetings in North Carolina, they'd pull me over and say, now where are you in revival this week, preacher? And I'll be honest with you, I had one of the funniest experiences I ever had with a highway patrolman. I had a family in the Johnson City Medical Center, which is an hour away from my house. I'd driven down there that day, and they had a family member that was dying. I sat all day at the hospital with them, and I had to leave because I was to start a revival meeting in Winston-Salem that night, which is a two-hour drive for me. So I already drove out of the hospital, drove back, and here I am going. I've sat all day at the hospital, already wore out, and I'm driving 2 hours to preach that night, and I've coming out of Tennessee, crossed into North Carolina. I'm going down this big long hill. We know it as Brown Hill. And I wasn't paying no attention. It was about 4 o'clock in the evening. I was going down through there, and all of a sudden I looked, and there was a state trooper coming up this side of the highway towards me. And I'm like a nervous convict. When I see a cop car, I immediately know I'm probably breaking the law, and I don't mean to. I looked down immediately at my speedometer, and sure enough, I was over the speed limit. I watched him as he passed me in my side mirror, and I seen him turning around. Well, I knew he was coming after me, so I just went down and pulled over. Waited on him. You know you've got trauma from being pulled over when you just go ahead and give up. You just surrender. I mean, I just went and pulled over and waited on him. He pulled in behind me, and when he did, he flipped on his lights. When he came up to the window, I already had my license and registration stuck out the window. He took them and he went back to the car and he's sitting there writing. And he came back up and said, now, Mr. Fletcher, I clocked you at this amount in this zone. I said, yes, officer. Yes, I understand, officer. He said, now, Mr. Fletcher, if you'd like to go to court, you can see if you can fight this and get out of this. I said, I understand, officer, I understand. And then he asked me a question. He said, Mr. Fletcher, you mind if I ask you something? I said, no, sir. He said, where are you going this time of the evening, dressed like you're dressed? I said, well, officer, just to be honest with you, I'm a preacher. And I said, I've been at the hospital all day with a family in my church who's got a dying family member, and I'm headed to Winston-Salem. I've got a two-hour drive ahead of me to preach tonight. And I said, officer, I was just coming down that hill, and I was tired, and I wasn't paying no attention how fast I was going. And when I said that, that officer turned white as a sheet. He stepped back from my car with that ticket in his hand. He threw both hands up in the air and he said, oh my God, I'm going to hell. I just wrote a tired preacher a ticket. This part of my flesh, you want to say, you might have rot you going to hell if you don't tear that up. I mean, when you get to the gate, I'm going to be standing there. I say, there he is. Don't open the gate. I mean, this guy was distraught. I felt sorry for him. And he said, preacher, I've already wrote the ticket. I can't tear it up. I said, I didn't ask you to tear it up. I wanted to tell him, I said, now look at my face. Get a good view of this. If you ever pull me over again, I'd get a do-over. I said, no, officer. I said, you're just doing your job. You're trying to keep folks safe. And I said, I appreciate the work you all do. And boy, I tell you what. But even though I've never been arrested, they tell me if you get arrested, you get one phone call. But Paul and Silas, they knew that principle long before Alexander Graham Bell ever invented anything such as a phone. Because they began to ring the bells of heaven. Amen. I thought about how many times have we been in a place that we need to just use that phone call God's given us. But we don't do it. Can I say to you, I don't know, sometimes we feel like we fail, Lord. Have you ever felt hesitant to go into the place of prayer? Have you ever felt like, Lord, I've let you down. I can't go in there and ask you for nothing. You feel like a dog. You say, Lord, I've not done like I ought to. I feel like I'm a miserable failure. But why? As a matter of fact, I was like that one day, and I knew I needed to pray. But I was kind of like that little old youngin, you know, when a youngin's been into something, and just kind of comes slipping in, trying to slip by mom and daddy to get to their room. That's the way I was that day. But finally, I just give it up, and I said, God, I need to talk to you. I said, Lord, I've let you down. I've failed you. And I need you to forgive me. And that day, as I was talking to the Lord, He put these words of another song on my heart that day. I came to the throne room defeated today because of a snare Satan laid in my way. I wondered, oh Lord, would you hear my plea? But friend, let me tell you what He said to me. I know that you failed me. I know you've done wrong. But child, I've been waiting. What took you so long? Abundant forgiveness is filling this place. The moment you step in the throne room of grace. I'm glad you can call Jesus anytime. You got to have determination in the darkness. You've got a direct line to the throne of God. And number three, when you find yourself in the inner prison, you have to decide what you're going to focus on. If I told everybody here today, I said, we're going to play a little game in the service today. I want everybody in here to pick out some object or person or something in this building, and I want you to focus your eyes on it. And if I went around the room, I'd ask, start over here saying, what are you focused on? Somebody might say, I was looking at the pulpit. Some might say, I was looking at the piano. Some might say, I was looking at the chandeliers. Some might say, I was looking at so-and-so. Everybody here might have something that they're focused on. But when you're down in the pit in the dark and there ain't no light there, you tell Paul and Silas, now focus on something. They can't see nothing. It's the point when you can't see nothing, you've got to decide what you're going to focus on.
Right.
They could have focused on the one who hurt them.
Listen.
There's a lot of church folk sitting at home today focusing in the dark on that one that hurt them. They could have focused on their own pain. They could have said, you know what, I'm hurting pretty bad. They could have focused on a lot of things. But that day, they focused on the one that could open the jailhouse doors.
Amen.
Have you ever heard of an earthquake that done what this one did? I've seen on the news where earthquakes happen, and I've seen where it shakes groceries off of shelves. I've seen where it tears buildings up. I've seen where it does a lot of damage. But can you imagine if the news crews had been down there at the jail that night? They said, well, we're down here at the prison and they've had an earthquake down here. Not sure exactly how much on the Richter scale it was. But said it shook the whole prison. And said, but apparently there's no damage that we can tell other than all the doors are open. But don't anybody be alarmed. None of the prisoners have escaped. They're all here. Wouldn't it? I wish we could get that kind of presence of God in our churches, so that everybody's just afraid to move because there's such an awesome presence of God there. The prisoners, the doors. Can you imagine? We got a prison close to where I'm at up there. If them doors flung open today, they'd be piling out of that place like I'm talking about coming out of that place. But can you imagine that night? The bars are opened up, and man, I'm telling you what, he said, all the bars are opened up, the doors, said there ain't nobody gone. And said, and this is a strange thing about this earthquake. It took off handcuffs and leg irons. Back to you, Bob. I mean, what do you say? Have you heard of that? Ain't nobody ever heard of that. I got news for you. God is able to shake your prison. He's able to shake your walls. He's able to shake your shackles. He's able to set you free. Breaking free from an inner prison. If we're going to bow our heads and preach, I want you to come take charge of the service you see fit today. Father,